Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, it's time for the third installment of our brand new feature here on the all new Hot Business called Your Legacy. What will your legacy be once you depart this mortal coil? And how are you thinking about building that legacy today? And quite frankly, it's just something we're not very good at here in South Africa, and indeed all around the world. It's not just a uniquely South African thing, long-term planning, but it really is the key to legacy building and to retirement success. And tonight we're going to try and reimagine this word called retirement, which to me conjures almost negative emotions of leaving something, an end and finality and sort of last rites. But I've got so many friends who've reinvented themselves at 60 and are having the best time of their lives. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Kanye Nzukuma, who's the chief executive of Glacier by Sunlum. Kanye, a great pleasure to have you on this new segment. You're the son of a teacher turned priest and a nurse, and you started your career as a school teacher, I believe. How did you get involved in financial advice?
Good evening, Michael. Thanks for hosting me. Yes, it's quite true that I actually started my career. Initially, I studied psychology, so I wanted to be a psychologist. And because I was too young to actually get into psychology or to practice, my father was a teacher, introduced me to teaching. And that is how I got in. And interestingly, very early on, while I was teaching, I met a financial advisor, you know, from one of the big insurance companies. And it so happened that he was probably one of the top financial planners, you know, for the company. And I mean, simply when I looked at what he was earning a month and what I was earning a month as a 22-year-old, it was chalk and cheese. I mean, to give you numbers, this guy was earning about 40,000 rands a month. I was earning 2,500 a month. So I think from a financial perspective, it was a no-brainer. But probably, Michael, there was a second reason, which was more, I think, long-term for me. So my father, besides being a civil servant, he also had a small business that he got in. Mm. And obviously, I worked in this business. And very early on, I realized that I wanted to build my own destiny in terms of financial independence. Running your own business as a general dealer, which is what my father did, gave me this idea of being a financial planner and running my own business and not having somebody determine, you know, what to earn. Obviously, I was a 22-year-old, eye glazed, you know, quite excited to make a lot of money.
And then realizing that it's, you know, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of qualification, certification, being, you know, on top of all of the rules and the FSCA stuff. And, you know, it comes with a great deal of responsibility. And I think the role of financial advisor becomes almost that of a trusted friend or a coach over time. And a really good financial advisor is someone, you know, who will be with you almost through that entire journey of building your own legacy. What does legacy mean to you? Is it something that you thought about back then?
It was true, Michael, that very early in my life, I thought about legacy. So I think for me, I've always had a very long-term view of life. In other words, I, at that age, imagined if I had to turn 60, what kind of a life would I have? I would like to look back and say, what have I done, what have I achieved? But also very importantly, I did think in those early years, what kind of life would I like to live, you know, for the next, you know, years until I can pass away? Now, being in financial services gives you a view of being able to think about financial planning, financial liquidity, and to make sure that you've got enough assets to make you to live the dreams that you want to live. It gives you that long-term view. Now, to come back to your question, I think legacy for me is probably got two parts in it. It's simply about fulfilling your dreams right through your life journey. Mm. So you start to work, you work until you retire, and then also you need to think about the years after retirement until, you know, you pass away. But also very importantly, legacy also talks to the difference you make to the people that you leave behind. That's got two parts in it. It obviously is got to make sure that you leave the people that were part of your family adequately provided for, but also very importantly, to make sure if you can, to make a difference to the wider community.
And that, you know, it's a hugely important thing that it's personal. Every one of us, I think, is a deeply personalized view of those broad issues around legacy, around, you know, what are those things that really light a fire under us, our passions, our dreams, that ultimately are the reason we go to work every day and think about building legacy, and also that relationship that we have with family and what we're leaving behind. You know, in my personal circumstances, I'm a member of that so-called sandwich generation now, but I've used some of that as motivation to ensure that I don't be a similar burden on my children as well. Now, the big issue, and you know, we've been covering this issue for almost two decades now, of retirement in South Africa. And you look at the Alex Forbes survey, it's around 6% of South Africans are retiring with what is deemed enough, whatever that enough is to build your legacy. Why do you think it is? Because I do think if you're under 40, chances are that your eyes glaze over when someone mentions the word retirement. It's a bit of a framing problem. We're just not having the right kinds of conversation to engage people, to get them to start thinking about this in the right way.
I think the big thing, Michael, I mean, you touched on a very good point, because I mean, those statistics from, you know, in the industry are quite extensive and quite worrying. For me, I think the big thing, it's probably think a bit about your life, reimagining the kind of future that you want to live. I mean, if you think about it, many of us, you know, we start young, we start to work, we've got lots of dreams, ideas of how would we like to live when you retire, the experiences that we want to have, the places that we want to go to. Now, we do get caught up with day-to-day challenges of life, obviously, which also needs funding. I think there are two challenges. So some of us don't apply enough discipline in terms of thinking about that future. So I think for me, the important thing is to always say, what is the kind of life I would like to live? What are the things that I would like to do? What are the things I would like to experience? And what is very important to articulate that as a plan. Now, the challenge is it needs somebody that is able to think very long term and really think, what this must be, what are these experiences, what must we do? For instance, what worries me often, many people think their life stops when they retire, you know, when they turn 60, whatever their pension fund says. But I always say, you must think about your life as phases. You can say phase one is a career I've chosen, the career I'm in. I will turn 60. Today, people live longer. You know, you retire at 60 and most likely you can live for another 30 years. Mm. Now you've got to say to yourself, what would be my second phase or even third phase of life? Because I live once. Now, I could want to be, for instance, I could be a medical doctor. But at the same time, I say I've got skills to write a book or I want to be a musician. Now you can say, I'll continue the career that I'm in now. When I get to a point where I say I want to start a second phase, I can start that second phase. To me, it's about crafting clearly what you want this life to be for yourself. And secondly, what do you want this life to be for the people around you? Once you've done that, then financial planning becomes a funding mechanism, you know, for these dreams.
Yeah.
But you can't frame your future, or you can't start to plan for your future without articulately framing how you want the future to be in a very tangible, simple, experience way.
Yeah, you've got to have that framework. You've got to codify it and envisage what that looks like. And I think very often if you don't, and so often we come across this kind of honeymoon phase into retirement and people haven't really thought about it. And so much of your self-worth was connected to your work. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have that anymore. And there's a lot of depression that can happen in that phase if you haven't thought about what you're going to do. And there was a great movie. I'm not sure if you watched it, that Robert De Niro film, The Intern. And it just demonstrates the powerful presence of an older person in the context of mentoring in things from skills in the workplace and that kind of thing, work ethic, patience. And I think in South Africa, in that context, there's a great role for retirees to play you know, in interning and mentoring interns in corporate. So there are lots of different ways that you can look at this. But to your point, you've got to have a framework. With that in mind, what do you see as the, if you were to say the key ingredients here for a successful retirement, what do you say those are?
What is probably important, so I mean, I spoke about, for instance, future planning, like imagination. You know, this thing is very interesting that as human beings, we've got this power to dream and to picture something which is not there. So I mean, to create this mental picture links your vision to your heart, and then it makes it live. Then you need to put a financial plan, because these things need capital, to put a financial plan that will make these dreams to come through. A big challenge with a financial plan is that it takes quite a long time and discipline for you to achieve the financial targets you want to make your plan to be true. So which means, it means you need to start to plan very, very early. And then secondly, you need to make sure that you stick to that plan very disciplined, you know, in a very way which is very disciplined. I'll come back now to the financial part of it. But I think simply for me, from a holistic perspective, because we've now started to look at this thing from a holistic perspective, because I think the challenge in SA, when people speak retirement, they tend to focus mainly on the financial part of it.
Yeah.
Now, the financial part of it, as I've said, is just the funding. Now, for me, you've got probably five things which are extremely important for successful retirement. The first one is your health, energy, and stamina, because your health is everything. I'm reminded, for instance, of one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world, Steve Jobs, at the pinnacle of his life, massively successful, and he had a health condition which money could do nothing about. So your health becomes quite critical. And in your health, there's two components. It's your physical health as well as your mental health. These things go together. So what is very important to me is you must start to live a very fitness, healthy mentality lifestyle from a very young age.
Yeah.
So for instance, exercising, making sure you eat well, getting this guidance, because everything you feed your body, whether it's through your mouth or through your mind, will affect your health. Then the second part, Michael, is about relationships. So as human beings, we are creatures of proximity. You know, it's important for us that we get fed, we're charged by being close to people. So the people that are close to you are extremely important to you, be it your family, be it your children, be it your friends. So it is quite important to make sure you stay interested in the world around you, and you must be proactive in your relationships.
Yeah, we certainly
saw
that.
You mentioned yourself being a...
Yeah, well, I just want to say we saw that through COVID, didn't we? We're social creatures. And I think, you know, being isolated from everyone took its toll mentally on so many people.
It's extremely so important, Stephen. You know, you mentioned, for instance, earlier, this thing about being a sandwich generation. I think you and I are probably in that space as well. Now, at this stage of our lives, I'll probably say between your 40s and your 60s, you become so embroiled in, for instance, your work, your career. You're probably in your pinnacle of your career. You get extremely busy. And what I often see, people, it is at that stage that they tend to ignore the relationships around them, especially the relationships outside work. So I think the second advice for me is relationships. Make sure you are active around the people that are close to you to keep in touch. Then the third part is the finances. Now, obviously, it's quite important to make sure that, as I've said earlier, the plan that you put in place gets funded. Now, that talks to discipline in terms of how you spend your money day to day. So this thing of having a budget and staying true to that budget on a monthly basis becomes quite important. I'll make one simple example. If now, for instance, I go and buy coffee every morning that costs 60 rands, now you just need to work out what that translates to in a month. And if you had to take part of that and put it in unit trust, what could it be over 30 years? Now, I'm not saying we should leave migrant, you know, migrant like that. What I'm saying is we need to be very conscious why we spoil ourselves day to day, because we have to spoil ourselves, but spoil ourselves in a very disciplined way. And that balances how we spend our money. I always make this example. Between age 25 and 40, I normally say probably 60% of your money should go to growth investments or assets, and 30% should be, you know, to security, and 10% to spoil yourself. But a financial advisor will give you guidance on that. But that discipline becomes quite important. The last point I want to make, Michael, is this thing of also being very, very aware of what's happening around you. There are a lot of things that are happening that we can't control. And it's important to make sure that we are aware of the things that are happening in the economy, in the political space, and those focus, you know, will make us make sure that we focus.
Yeah.
Then the last one is this thing of meaning. It's very important that we need to make sure we live a purposeful life all the time. That is future looking, but also at the same time, that ensures that we enjoy the joys of life on a day-to-day basis. But looking forward becomes also quite important, because once you've got that purpose that you aim for, when you're 60, when you're 70, that is the legacy that you want to leave one day when you're not here.
And
it
that
keeps you focused.
And that is what legacy is all about at the end of the day. Some great food for thought. Thank you very much, Kanyi. We're going to have to leave it there.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
That was Kanyi Nzakuma, Chief Executive of Glacier by Sanlam, with his view on legacy. And also some of the key ingredients there, I think fantastic advice on how one should think very broadly and holistically about this retirement journey and building the kind of legacy that you'd be happy leaving behind one day. When, and it's going to happen to all of us, there's only two certainties in life, death and taxes. You do depart this mortal coil, at least you can know you've given it your best shot. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.